Everyone, would you all please stand? We're going to turn to number 392. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise I love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Shall we remain standing as we look to the Lord in prayer? Brother Sam, will you lead us, please, in prayer?
Father, we want to thank you for the truth of this song, Showers of Blessing We Need. And Lord, we sang here, now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. And we realize, Lord, that this is the work of the Holy Spirit in us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Good to see you today. Thank you for coming out. Let's see, we got so many things coming up, and I didn't make a list. I'll try to remember some of them. We'll be changing our clocks pretty soon. Not next week, but the week after that. Don't get me started on that. I'll listen to TV and they'll tell me which it is. We'll be changing our clocks. And I think that same day we're going to be having a missionary with us. I don't have that in front of me either. I believe he's going to China. We're going to have a China missionary with us. What else? In November, we're going to have two or three missionaries. Maybe we'll have a couple of the Hawkins boys down here. Get John and who else is it, True or Tim?
Tim.
They're out in this neck of the woods, and we're going to try to have both of them during the month of November. And we just got a lot of things going on. By the way, we got some sick folks you need to pray for. Laura Delisle had her operation this past Friday. And Gene Rice is out. His meanness caught up with him. You tell him I said that, Barbara. I'll take care of the rest of it. And Brother Bryant still got his high blood pressure. So keep him on your prayer list. Because when his blood pressure gets up like it is and has been, just takes him out. And others of our congregation that are sick, we have Abel Monson and Wayne Fox. Artie should be coming back pretty soon from Texas. She'll have some tall tales to tell us. And Georgia Clark, keep poor Georgia in your prayers. And others that are on our prayer list. I think nearly everybody's on it at one time or another. And we pray for one another. And it's prayer that brings us back to the house of God. Again, it's good to see you. You're doing a good job singing. We appreciate Naomi being here this morning to give us some piano music. Oh, by the way, coming up also on Friday night, November the 8th, at 7 o'clock down the street down Palomar at the Country Church, Steve Weatherford's going to be down there singing. And it's not a quartet anymore, not even a trio. I don't think even a duet, is it?
No.
It may be just Steve. But anyway, come on down. Let's see how he's doing, okay? Tell him hi. That's on November the 8th, Friday night. There's some little brochures out there on the table. All right, Brother David, thank you for leading our singing. Come and lead us in another good song.
No, God is so good. I know, you know, I'm not as mature as others in here that I'm talking about age, but it seems as the older I get, God is so good to us. It's such a blessing to know that he guides us and leads us. And it's such a blessing. I just wanted to say that. But we're going to sing number 379, Living for Jesus. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
living for Jesus who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading and give him my all. Oh Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in his holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, taking each trial as a part my cross. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile. Seeking the lost ones, he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
Amen. Would you all rise and for our offertory hymn, we'll sing number 281. 281.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, a glorious day that will be.
Amen. Brother Roger, lead us in prayer, please.
Father, Jim, you have a thankful heart. We thank you for this place you provided for us and you watched over, that we may come and hear your word being preached by our pastor, the song being sung. Father, we ask that you continue to build ahead about this corner, building, property, and finances. And Lord, at least for taking us off, we ask that you not only multiply it here in this corner, but the mission field you support around the world, and we will be careful. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Remember, the service is tonight at 6 o'clock. Someone has a bulletin. Tell me what I'm going to be preaching about.
The seven feasts.
The seven feasts. Where's that found, Brother Roger? Really? That's in the Old Testament, isn't it? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 23. Yeah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 23. Remember that. Read the 23rd chapter of Leviticus before you come tonight. That'll save me from having to read the whole chapter to you as a text, and that way we can preach a little bit more. But listen, I don't want you to miss this tonight, because there was a fella, used to be on radio, by the name of Harold Camping. Harold Camping was one of these guys that had it all figured out. He knew when Jesus was going to return. Yeah. And he knew a whole lot of things like that. Well, he made the mistake of telling everybody when it was going to happen. And when it didn't happen, everybody was disappointed, including him. But some people don't learn from people like that. So tonight, I'm going to take up where Harold Camping left off. And if you want to know what that means, you be here tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about the seven feasts of Jehovah tonight. And you may be surprised at some of the things you hear this preacher say. But you bring your Bible and you read it this afternoon, know what the text says, so you won't be too shocked and surprised tonight when you hear my message. We're teaching the book of Deuteronomy on Wednesday evenings at 6. Come out and be with us for that service too. We'll have a good time of Bible study and fellowship around the Word of God. So, I don't know if Johnny has a song or not. I didn't ask him this morning, but probably he does. He always has one. How about that? That's a good ministry that boy's got. So come on up here and bless our hearts with a song. And Naomi, we've got time. I've got a short sermon this morning. We got time to hear from you. Give us a long song this morning. Yeah. We'll work you into our agenda. Come on up here. What are you singing? I'm just checking you out.
Good morning, everyone.
This is a song entitled Look For Me at where?
At my Lord Jesus.
At Jesus' feet.
That's where. Yeah. If I'm not in my mansion, or taking a walk down Salvation Avenue, or hanging out in Hallelujah Square, that's where I'll be. Amen. Please. Thank you. Yes, I am.
Thank you.
love thee. Yes, I'll be there. That's where I'll be. Praise God. Hey, if I be washing his feet, Pastor, let me do it. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yeah. But remember, you also wipe his feet with your hair.
Well, it's not long enough.
That's scriptural. You got to let your hair grow.
I just do like that then. Hey, praise God.
All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, but somebody said we're going to be sexless beings in heaven, so. Every Monday when I go down to see Wayne, he says, did you record yesterday? I said, we sure did. He said, did Johnny sing? I said, he sure did. And he likes to hear you sing. And we also like to hear Naomi sing. Appreciate her musical talent. God's given her, she's sharing it with us. Yes, it is. This we got is, Barbara on the control. She knows what she's doing.
This is the longest song I could find, okay? I'll sing it real slow. They all walked away. There was nothing to say. They'd just lost their dearest friend. Oh, that he said that he'd be dead. So this is the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail. How could a night be so long? The angel, the star, the kings from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done. They'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true. She had watched him die too. She had heard them call him just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again. Then came the morning, night turned into day, the stone was rolled. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won. For morning had come. Then came the morning. Night turned in. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished beneath the sun. Death had lost and life had won. For morning had come. Death had lost and life had won. For morning had come.
Beautiful song. Well done. Open your Bibles, please, this morning to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 22 of this chapter. This is a message that I don't think I've ever preached before, and it was such a joy in preparing this because this is the only place in the scripture, I think, that mentions Hanukkah. Let's read it. John chapter 10, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. And it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Keep your Bibles open there. You'll be looking at that again. At sundown, on this coming Thanksgiving Day, November the 28th, 2013, at sundown now, the Jewish holiday called Hanukkah begins. This will be the first time that Hanukkah has fallen on Thanksgiving Day since the year 1888. Now, Hanukkah is an 8-day feast of dedication. And like I said, it's mentioned only one time in the Bible. And it refers to an incident that took place during what we call the intertestamental period. That is, that period of time between the Old and the New Testament. That's what they call the 400 silent years, when the voice of no voice of a prophet was heard in Israel. 400 years. Now, that's between Malachi and Matthew, see, the Old and the New Testaments. And it refers to an incident that took place as a result of the Jewish struggle in a war with Syria. Headlines of the paper today. We know what Syria is. This is what they were 168 years before Jesus came. Those people have been fighting over there ever since they were born. And they'll continue until Jesus comes. But it was in 168 BC that Syrian king by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes had invaded Israel, had subdued the people, killed multitudes of them, taken over the land. He's the one that desecrated the Jews' temple there in Jerusalem. He made an idol of a Greek god, Zeus. You may have heard of Zeus. And he set it up inside the Jews' temple dedicated to God and demanded that all those Jews bow down and worship that idol or he'd kill them. That's as bad as Nebuchadnezzar in the days of Daniel making his idols, wasn't it? Well, he was mean, persecuted them religiously. He gathered up all of their Bibles. They called them scrolls at that time because they didn't have printed Bibles like we have. He rounded up all of the scrolls and burned them. Kind of like that Baptist preacher off down there in Florida burning those Koran. Causes trouble. People don't like it. You wouldn't like it if they came to your house and said, "Have you got a Bible in here?" You bring their Bible, your Bible out, and they burn it right in front of you. He did that. He says, "Now, those bullocks and those calves and heifers and sheep and goats that you've got out there penned up for sacrifice, forget it. I'm not going to allow you to make any sacrifices on your altars anymore. And insofar as the Sabbath day is concerned, no more rest. You're going to have to work on Saturday the same as you do all the rest of the days of the week, desecrating the Sabbath day." And he says you don't circumcise your baby boys anymore either. He stopped that ritual of circumcision among the Jews. And he said, "By the way, we're going to offer pigs on the altar instead of sheep and goats and calves and things like that." Now, if you know your Bible, you know that's an unclean animal. So he was desecrating their sacred temple. He went throughout the whole, all of Israel, in all the towns and villages, and he set up idols and demanded upon penalty of death that those people worship those idols. And they had to eat pork that had been sacrificed to idols. That is flying in the face of everything that they'd ever learned about religion. They suffered under that for 3 long years. And finally, they had enough of it. God raised up a man by the name of Judas Maccabees. In 165, he led the Jewish people in a victorious rebellion against the Syrians and retook Jerusalem and purified the temple. Hooray for them. Now, during the purification process, they had their 7-branched candlestick in there that they called a menorah. Actually, it was a lamp stand. It had little lamps on it that used olive oil, a special oil. They only had enough oil to last for one day to keep the lamps burning. I know all about that because I was raised in the days before electricity and we had coal oil lamps. We didn't burn olive oil, we burned coal oil in it. And I learned to read and spent my youth growing up reading in the light of a coal oil lamp. These people burned olive oil in theirs and they just had enough olive oil to last for one day, and they needed it stretched out for 8 days. Well, this was a special oil that they had to have. And it took several days to process it and get it all consecrated and dedicated, all of that ritual that they went through, see. Well, they lit the lamps before they had a supply of oil. And that one day's oil lasted for 8 days. That was the miracle that took place. And they named it, that 8-day festival, Hanukkah, the festival of lights are the feast of dedication. Now, they restored the daily sacrifice after they cleansed the temple on a special day, the 25th of December. Now, you and I know 25th of December as Christmas. And we celebrate it secretly because the government won't let you do it publicly. But we sneak and worship Christmas as the day when Jesus was born. But December the 25th is not the day when Jesus was born. I'm going to disillusion you. Try April the 1st. What do they call that day? All Fools' Day. Isn't that amazing? They take the birthday of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, when he was made flesh, and they make it All Fools' Day. But they worship the birthday of Christ on December the 25th, when the temple was rededicated in Jerusalem. Figure it out. It's interesting. The details of Hanukkah are recorded in history in the writings of Josephus and also in the book, the apocryphal book called First Maccabees. Let me read you a short paragraph about it, okay? For 8 days, they celebrated the rededication of the altar. With great joy, they brought burnt offerings and offered fellowship offerings and thank offerings. Now that the Jews had removed the shame which the Gentiles had brought, they held a great celebration. Then Judas, that's Judas Maccabees, his brothers, and the entire community of Israel decreed that the rededication of the altar should be celebrated with a festival of joy and gladness at the same time each year, beginning on the 25th of the month of Kislev and lasting for 8 days. And they still do it. Now, go back and remember our text. And you ask, we'll try to answer the question, what does that have to do with Jesus, and what is the significance of it to us, if anything? Isn't it strictly a Jewish thing? Hanukkah usually falls from the last part or middle of November, anytime between there and Christmas, we'll say in December. On the Jewish calendar, their months are determined by the moon, whereas ours are by the sun, to make their calendar line up with our solar year, their lunar year. They have to add an extra month every few years. So there'll be some years that the Jews will have 13-month year. So as a result, their holidays change dates on our calendar. It's not the same all the time. Now, the Bible said here, we read it, said, and it was winter. From December to February, Jerusalem is in the grip of winter. And here in my office, I have a picture of the city of Jerusalem made from the top of the Mount of Olives, in which there's snow on the ground. Beautiful picture. They don't have snow too often, but sometimes they do. Those months are the coldest and rainiest months that they have. The temperature will range from the low 40s at night to the mid 50s during the day. When I made my trip over there in 1994, I didn't know anything about it, so I went over there in the latter part of January through the early part of February, right in the middle of their winter time, when the days were dark and damp and dreary. It didn't really rain real hard while I was there, but it seemed like there was always a mist in the air. That's the way it was, and a cold one at that. Very uncomfortable, and a chilling wind comes in from the Mediterranean Sea. That I remember the main thing that it kept me from doing was riding a camel. I decided that I didn't want to ride that old wet camel. Our text says, so it was winter. But this is not a Minnesota winter. It's a Southern California winter. Their winter's much like ours. Jesus was there at Jerusalem at the time of the Feast of Dedication. He was walking in the temple on Solomon's porch. Now, this Solomon's porch had not been built on this temple. Solomon's temple, you'll remember, had been destroyed way back yonder, nearly 600 years before this, by Nebuchadnezzar. This is Herod's temple that he has rebuilt in Jerusalem. And there on the on the southern end of this rebuilt temple, there was this large, it looks kind of like a building, but it's a forest of great big old white columns that extend way up high. I mean, they're just all over the place. And when you walk on Solomon's porch, you're walking in there among these columns. And it has a roof over the top of it. Keep the weather out, I suppose, and shelters the people who are gathered there. So you get the picture. It's a holiday. Great crowds of people, more than usual, are present in Jerusalem for this feast of dedication. And Jesus is there at Jerusalem on Solomon's porch. It's winter. December on our calendar, probably cold, damp, and rainy. And Jesus is walking in this area of the temple. Now, some of the Jewish people come and gather around him, and they ask him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, the Messiah, tell us plainly. Tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, and he says, I told you, but ye believed not. Now we know that Jesus, throughout his ministry, revealed his identity as the Son of God. He started out rather young. Do you remember the time when he came with Joseph and Mary all the way down to Jerusalem from Nazareth to celebrate the feast of the Passover? And then when they packed up and got ready to leave after the Passover was gone, they thought Jesus was with them, and he wasn't, and they made a day's journey without him. That night, they couldn't find him anywhere. They had to turn around and go all the way back the next day to Jerusalem, and they spent another day looking for him. And they finally found him in the temple, And there's a lot of those smart people in those days, the doctors, the scribes, the Pharisees, who were listening to Jesus as he taught them. A 12-year-old boy. Well, the first thing that a mother and father are going to do is to scold that youngster. What are you doing down here? We're supposed to be in Nazareth by now. We've wasted 3 days looking for you. Now, the Bible doesn't say that they took him and bent him over their knee and gave him a paddling. But when they rebuked Jesus about this, what did he say? Do you remember? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? 12 years old, what's he doing? He's going about his Father's business, isn't he? 12 years old. And he wasn't talking about Joseph either. He knew his mission even as a child. In John 3:16, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, and he said to him, Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's a woman at the well in Samaria in the 4th chapter of John. He told her that he was the Messiah. In the 5th chapter of the book of John, he told the Jewish religious leaders that he would be bringing back the dead to life for judgment. He told them that he was the one that Moses predicted would come. John chapter 8, he told them that he had existed from the time of Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I was. The problem was not with Jesus. The problem was with their faith. Their faith. So Jesus told them, he says, I told you, but you wouldn't believe. And that brings us to the very heart of the issue, because Hanukkah is the feast of dedication, celebrating the time when the temple of God was rededicated to the service of God. Judas Maccabees had cleansed it and reconsecrated it and rededicated it to God. So did Jesus. When he began his public ministry, the first thing that he did, he went into Jerusalem and he went into the temple. And what did he do? He started cleaning that place up, driving out the money changers, those that sold animals for sacrifices. The feast of dedication. It also commemorated the lighting of the menorah. And yet, during this very festival, the people were stumbling blindly in spiritual darkness because they refused to trust in and receive the light of the world. They wanted to stone this very one who had cleansed the temple, because they had turned the Father's house of prayer into a den of thieves. And Jesus cleansed it. Now, from this Hanukkah season event, we're given two important lessons. The first is that the miracles that Jesus performed validated his claim to be Israel's promised Messiah. In the context here, verse 25, he says, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Verses 37 through 38, he says, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not." If I don't do the works of the Father, don't believe me. But, he said, "If I do, though you believe not me, believe the works." Believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. You see, he and the Father are one. And these mighty works that he's talking about are the miracles that he performed that bore witness to him and confirmed his claim to be God's only begotten Son and Israel's promised Messiah. Second lesson that we learn is that Jesus protects those who put their faith and trust in him. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's going to be with you always. And he will love you and sustain you under all circumstances. He spoke to these people here in verse 27 of John 10. He told these people there, he said, "You're not my sheep." He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You and I are in his hands. No man can pluck us out of his hand. He says, "My Father, which gave them me." I did some thought about that. Seems like there's a word missing there, isn't it? You want to read it, "My Father, which gave them to me." Because we were given to Jesus by God the Father. That's a truism. But there's also, we look at it the way that it's worded, "The Father gave them me." See it? The Father has given Jesus to us. "The Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." We're not only in the hands of Jesus, but we're in the hands of God the Father. I and my Father are one. Oh, I tell you, that wonderful statement that he just made, it must have made those people so happy, they just rejoiced and jumped up and down at that. No, they didn't. Look at the next verse. Verse 31. "Then the Jews took up stones again." Now the word "again" means that they'd done it before. They took up stones again to stone him. They were going to stone him with the stone of rejection and with the stone of unbelief. And with the stone of refusal. And with the stone of denial. Where do you stand in all of this? Are you accepting him and his claim to deity? Or are you picking up stones to stone him? Can you just remain neutral and sit on the fence? I don't see how. Can you just continue on in your life without making a choice between Jesus and Satan, between sin and righteousness, between faith and unbelief, between salvation and damnation, between heaven and hell, between life and death, between being saved and remaining lost? I don't see any middle ground there. Maybe I'm missing it. Jesus said, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." Either hot or cold, no lukewarm. That life he's talking about is eternal life, everlasting life, life that lasts forever. He's talking about, and it's free to any and all who will accept it, because it's a gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. Let's stand together for prayer. Thank you for bearing with me today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessed word. We thank you, Father, for the Spirit of God, which takes the Word of God and ministers to our hearts. And we pray that today we might have learned something about Hanukkah that we didn't know before, and know what it means spiritually to know Jesus, the light of the world, drives out the darkness and brings us to Christ. I pray that you'll bless this invitation this morning. Maybe someone is here who needs the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Speak to their hearts and move them by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What's our number?
Number 491. 491.
491. Sing a verse of this invitation. We've got time.
Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. We look forward to seeing you this evening at 6 o'clock. Brother Lancaster, will you lead us, please, in prayer?
Yep. Yep. St. Louis.